fighting for America.
You put a Democrat in the office of governor of Idaho, and things will change within 90 days.
Well, yeah, we'll all be worse off, Steve.
Hold on.
Fighting for Idaho.
By the way,
what part of socialism? What part of socialism is not Otter part of?
You know, this is such an optimistic. This is such an optimistic.
Tom, he gave us
Tom.
Fighting for you.
Gun-toting Pat, what do you have to say here? Hopefully, it's more. Here, hold on. You have to speak into the microphone.
I said if BS was concrete, you'd be a superhighway.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, it's always nice to be appreciated. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up this hour, Senator Crapo will be with us taking your calls on ISIS, Ebola, jobs, the economy, all the big hits of the day that we're covering here at 580 KIDO. Coming up, a big meeting last night at Mountain View High School, teachers speaking their minds at a meeting concerning tiered certification, an issue that we've been covering for quite some time. And the governor comes back and says, it's not over. It's not over, and it wasn't over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, right? It wasn't over when the Ninth Circuit, the Supreme Court, allowed same-sex marriage, right?
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
Forget it, he's rolling. So the governor now has decided to go back to the Ninth Circuit, to the 11-judge panel that's different from the 3-judge panel, and see if they will hear the case. The governor's doing everything that he can legally within the framework of the Constitution to protect marriage. The critics of Governor Otter will say it's election year politicking. Whether it is or it isn't, it is the truly right move. For you have a state where 4 females, that want to equate marriage, same-sex marriage, with traditional marriage, has overturned the will of the people. Now, we can talk about the rights of the minority, the tyranny of the majority. However, thousands of people voted, and not one person comes to the defense of marriage. Why? Because of the crackdown, the PC mob that will attack and vilify anyone who says, ain't no plans with a man. You know the rest. That's hate speech. Is it really? And as we've said, first it will be the government dictating, redefining marriage. And hey, all you old school polygamists out there, get ready, buckle up. You too can have a series on TLC. Old school polygamy comes to Idaho, comes to America. Because marriage in Utah, according to one nitwit federal judge, is being redefined. It says polygamists have the same rights. How embarrassing to all of us. It's like Keanu Reeves trying to be an action star. Tom Cruise trying to be a tough guy. It's not the same as Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're just not buying it. Phone numbers here, 580-5436. I applaud Governor Otter. We urge the governor to do this from the very beginning. We're glad that he's following our suggestions. We're glad that the governor is following what the people want him to do.
Jackpot, brother.
In addition to that, there was a great political point that we made the other day. It wasn't my thought. I got it from a friend of mine. If they can smoke dope in Colorado, if they can smoke dope in Washington, why can't we have traditional marriage in Idaho? It's federal. They're breaking federal law. Oh, I'm sorry. The president just chooses to enforce whatever laws he wants to enforce, right?
I want to slap somebody.
Exactly. First lady wants to slap somebody. I agree. However, getting back to this issue at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, before we go to Senator Crapo, who's warming up in the bullpen, your thoughts on the governor. Now, we have a poll at 580kido.com. And I remember when these websites were the first thing, and, oh, you've got to have a poll. Poll this, poll that. Well, we've got a poll that has been quite popular where people have been logging on. And I urge you to do this because we'll be featuring the results of this poll every day until the election. And that is, who has your vote for governor? Right now, Mr. Bujak adroitly using social media to promote this website. Right now, he's out in front, 74% of the vote. Governor Otter at 15%. Mr. Blukoff at 12%. Pro-life did get one vote. And Steve Pankey, the constitutional candidate, has gotten zero. How you can be a real-life candidate and not return phone calls from the press, I don't know. But we are attempting to reach out to Mr. Pankey. Next week we will have Mr. Blukoff on. The governor, as you know, is always welcome on this program. And we will have Pro-Life with us on Friday after we go to the schools. However, back to the original point, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, we were so convinced about how it was the end of the world. We were so annoyed that our elected officials didn't do anything when this same-sex ruling came down. Your thoughts on Governor Otter saying, not so fast, my friends. Now, some political scientists will say, oh, it's election year politicking, just like the Ebola conference. I don't care. Somebody has to stand up and say, not so fast, my friend. Correct? 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Also in education, this tiered certification program that is being pushed by Mr. Luna and others. I guess the state board has to take a look at it. The IEA had a big meeting last night in Mountain View High School, and you had a bunch of teachers very concerned. Well, you know what this is. We want to get rid of the bad teachers. Oh, the road to getting rid of bad teachers is paved to you-know-where, just like the road to with good intentions. Bad teachers are bad. Oh, are they? Well, let's hear what teachers had to say last night, courtesy of our friends at Channel 7.
...criteria to make their voices heard on a pair of proposals from the State Board of Education. Sonia Galaviz has been teaching for more than a decade and opposes tiered certification.
I think it's turned into an extraordinarily complex system that is attempting to use a teacher certification as some sort of process of accountability, which is extremely problematic because the certification or the licensure of a teacher should be held at the state level, not be affected by local administration.
Tiered certification would base the teacher's pay on their level of licensure, almost like going from a medical resident to a fellow to a physician. Teachers would start at $40,000 a year and top out at $58,000. Teachers reach tiers through district assessments, standardized tests, and other measures they can decide on with their administration.
It is my strong belief, however, that a principal should not be granted the power and responsibility of affecting teacher pay and the level of license they hold.
See, that's the grassroots level, and when this tiered certification came up, I did say that it would be an issue, and you're going to have a lot of people debating it. And coming up, we will talk about that later in the hour. We're joined by our great friend, Senator Mike Crapo, with us here at 580KIDO, enjoying his holiday, if you will, but you're always working. You're always working.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Kevin. We are moving around the state. I think we're going to probably do about 20 town hall meetings around Idaho this month, and we're doing four of them today. So if you're in Caldwell, Wilder, Melba, or Nampa today and want to go to a town meeting, we welcome you to come out.
Senator, I've got to ask you something here. What's it like to have the job as a senator? You know, we're always talking about the issues, and we'll get to that because you love the issues and you're working hard. But I mean, I thought to myself, now, do you guys have direct deposit or do you get like the paper checks?
You can do it either way.
Really?
Like
so it's just like
employment.
A job.
Yeah. And you know, in fact, many people think that there's some kind of a special retirement that's all over the internet. We're part of the Social Security system like everyone else, and we're part of the federal retirement system like all federal workers. But I don't know if that's what you were angling
for.
Yeah,
actually it was. It was just, I was thinking about just something out of the box this time, and I go, well, I just wonder, you know, what's it like when you say, well, you know, I'm a senator. I mean, not a, you know, there's, what, only 100 of you, so.
Yeah. One of the questions I often get is, do we have our own jets to fly us around the country? And the
yes.
answer is no.
Grateful one, yes. I yeah, saw it the
right.
other day.
You
yes.
know, Nancy Pelosi did get a jet. Yes. That was true.
Right.
But that's the only occasion that I'm aware of where a member of Congress had their own personal jet.
Senator Crapo, you're doing these town hall meetings while you're here, and as I've said before, you know, we talk about the time off. You certainly always take advantage of that. You're always working when you're back home. What are people saying to you? You listen as much as you speak. What are they saying to you about what they the issues in Idaho?
Well, you know, as you might guess, they are frustrated and you know, I was going to say angry, and they are angry, but I think it's almost to the point of being fearful of what's going on in the country right now in terms of all sorts of issues. Our national debt, which we are not dealing with, our tax structure, the fact that you've got the IRS targeting political organizations that the administration doesn't agree with, the EPA overreach. The Department of Justice now has an operation called Operation Choke Point, which they say is to help stop illegal businesses from getting access to financing, but we are seeing that it's what I think is targeted at gun shops and other businesses that the administration doesn't like. And the list goes on and on and on. You've got the, you know, data collection on individuals by different branches of the government that is just phenomenal. And people are saying enough is enough. We want to have control over the spending. We want to have a reform of our tax code. And we want to have the government small and get it out of our lives. And another big message that they're sending, and I hope they send this message across the country, is that they don't see the kind of pushback to President Obama and the administration that they want to see. And frankly, I agree with them that on that. Part of the reason, in fact, a big part of that reason, is that elections have consequences, and we've got to get the votes. And we're looking at another election coming up here where maybe we'll be able to do that.
Senator, a lot of published reports out of Washington. You're there at the epicenter that the president may sign some executive orders to legalize 34 million folks that are here illegally. What's the economic impact on that? Your thoughts if the president's circumventing Congress?
Well, first of all, it's outrageous. You know, the president had the nerve to say that he was going to make some new kind of order. And you're right. We think that this new order he's planning on issuing is going to be an expansion of amnesty, and because he's already said he's not going to enforce the law against children. And now we expect that it's going to be extended to adults. But he had the nerve to say, oh, I'm not going to tell you what it is until after the election. Because obviously he knows the American people are not going to like what he's doing. It's an outrage. First of all, our immigration policy should not be based on amnesty. We're a nation of law, and those who enter the country illegally should not have an advantage towards citizenship or permanent legal residence. And secondly, the president does not have the authority to unilaterally implement immigration law. And even though he has said that if Congress, you know, his words that were incredible, if Congress will work with me and do what I want them to do, we'll work together. But if not, I've got a pen, and I'm going to use it. And I think it's outrageous, and I hope that Americans across this country speak up against it.
More coming up with Senator Crapo, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll talk about jobs in Idaho and the future in America. Time for traffic now.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Senator Crapo with us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Senator, let's get back to our favorite topic, unfortunately, which is money and the economy. Here we have the Fed printing money still. We have the stock market blowing up through the roof, yet still 80% of Americans out of the stock market. Still people are underemployed, and those that are employed aren't making what they made 10 or 20 years ago. Where do we start?
Well, you know, Kevin, the answer is right in front of us, and it is our national debt. The fact is, as you know, I've been saying for years now, we need to put together a comprehensive plan which involves controlling spending. The problem is spending, not that our taxes are too low. We need to reform entitlements. We need to put restraints on Congress, which has a perfect record of breaking every budget that it's ever adopted, and lately just not even adopting a budget. And we need to reform our tax code. And I know those sound like sort of big ticket, pie in the sky items, but that's what we've got to do. Right now, Our national debt is crippling our economy, and the only reason you see the stock market acting the way it is, in my opinion, and the only reason you see the economy continuing to chug along is because the Federal Reserve has literally been printing trillions of dollars and pumping them into the economy through our debt, helping us to grow greater debt, and trying to keep this engine running by just pumping money into it. Which for the short term keeps the economy moving and keeps the stock market moving, but in the long term simply creates a bigger, deeper hole that we're going to have to crawl out of when we eventually have to deal with it.
Economically, like, you know, Dave Ramsey talks about going out and getting a second job, beans and rice. Economically, how would that work for America to go on a beans and rice diet?
Well, you know, there is some pain in terms of controlling our spending and reducing the national debt. It means that we are going to have to let some dynamics in the economy happen where the economy will adjust itself to normal spending and to proper spending policy. A balanced budget amendment, for example, would be a phenomenal first step. But when that happens, you say, how would it be like? There would be some pain. There would be a little bit of a shudder. And the question is whether there would be a huge collapse. And the answer to that question is how we do it. If we in America will take control of this and do the things I just talked about, even just start down the path, even if it's a long-term path to achieve the balanced budget, we will, I think, generate tremendous economic growth. And that restrictive diet, if you will, that you just described, will not need to be long-lived. If we wait until the world's bond markets do it for us, and the bond markets across the world lose their confidence in the ability and or will of the American people to honor their debt, then it can be a huge economic crisis. And I'm worried that that is how it may play out if we don't do something.
Well, and then let's get back to the beans and rice. We've seen a huge expansion of social programs under this administration. How would we start curbing those when in reality we need more with our military, and yet we're cutting our military at the same time? So the social programs that Americans have become so dependent on, how do we bring those back for our own fiscal health?
Well, the short answer and the absolutely straightforward answer is it takes votes. But in terms of how to get there, you know, the Bowles-Simpson Commission is one example of an approach. There are several out. In fact, there's probably 8 or 10 examples out there of ways to approach reforming our entitlement system. But I think that the best way to put it is it'll be tough. There's going to be decisions that we need to make that people are going to have to start living with. But we can do it. We know how to do it. And there are different ways to do it. The point being, if we will start taking those steps, then the very social programs that you talk about and the advocates for those programs will be better off. Because right now, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are all screaming toward insolvency. And if we do nothing, then those programs, like our national defense and every other part of this huge government, will be downsized, but they'll be downsized by the economy. And it won't be downsized in a way that will be felt, that will feel good to anybody who likes any of those programs. And so the bottom line here is we've got to make the reforms that are necessary. And we do know how to make those kinds of reforms that will actually help us to save money while maintaining the essential services.
Senator, we know what to do, and you're right about the Bowles-Simpson and everything else that you've been right about, but we don't seem to have the political will. If you start doing that, you're vilified. There are a lot of issues that go on with it, with doing the hard work. Many folks, you know, you take a look at the baby boomers, they're all retiring. We've got this next great generation, the millennials, the largest cohort that we've ever had, with the least amount of economic opportunities in America today, burdened with student loans. I mean, we have people that maybe even listening to us right now that are in their 60s still paying off student loan debt. What do we do to address that? A, I guess jobs for millennials, and maybe not price controls, but making colleges more affordable.
Well, we certainly need to address the cost of a college education, and there are a lot of things that we can do. Again, and I'm not in favor of price fixing in any area, but there are things that we can do. But you know, there are really two different philosophies about how to approach this. One is to just waive the debt or to have the government pick up the cost of whatever the issue is, whether it's student loans, whether it's health care, you name it. The government can't continue doing that. That's what's driving us into the debt crisis we're in right now. And the other approach is to budget properly, focus on restraint, recognize that spending is the problem, not undertaxing, and reform our tax code. And if we were to do those things, economists tell us, in fact, the economists of all stripes tell us that we would generate economic growth in the United States that would generate the stronger jobs, the stronger wages, the stronger benefits, the stronger education system, and the stronger ability to pay off those student loans and to move into that second home.
Right.
And all of the other things that are part of the American dream. And I literally think that our failure to deal with these comprehensive structural problems in our fiscal system is the core. And we could look at specific little fixes here and there, and we need to do those kinds of things. But the bottom line is, we've got to reform our tax code. We've got a tax code that, on the corporate side, is the highest tax rates in the world. We're driving countries outside and away from our borders. On the individual side, we've got a six-tiered tax system. We need a flat tax system. We've got a six-tiered tax system with the highest rate at 39.6, and we are discouraging capital formation in the United States. It's these kinds of structural things that we need to look at and fix.
Well, you know, so Steve Forbes had it right in 96 with that flat tax?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, there are several ways to do this. You could have a flat tax. You could have a consumption-oriented tax, although you wouldn't want to do both. And you could have all kinds of different ways to achieve both. For example, the Bull-Simpson Commission reform that I was a part of flattened the tax, didn't get all the way to one tax rate, but we took it from six-tiered tax system down to a three-tiered tax system, so we moved halfway there. And we took the highest rate from 39.6% down to 23%. So we got it down not as far as I thought it should go, but we got it moving significantly in the right direction. And so anyway, my point is there's a lot of ways we can get there. But we've got to start on the road.
Two very different personalities, Simpson and Bowles, huh?
Yeah, they were very good, very, very different personalities. But you want to know, in the end, they both ended up locked in arms, locked together, fighting right for this.
More coming up with Senator Crapo next at 580 KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
And let's get to the phones. We go to our great friend Patriot Ray with Senator Crapo. Good morning, Patriot Ray.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
You know, I'm curious, when was the last time that the Republicans had control of the House and the Senate? Was it 8 to 12 years ago? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was about 8 years ago. I'm trying to scratch my memory and remember that, but you're about right, yes.
Okay. My question is that when we had control, when the Republicans had control of the House and Senate, the issue with the debt, which I believe was only around $3 trillion at that time, was not addressed to a heavy extent. And I don't know whether we had a bunch of rhinos in place that just balked on it, or nobody. I know nobody wants to get their constituency up and riled about maybe losing some kind of a benefit. But here we've got a president who now has given benefits, greater benefits to the illegals than he does the people who are born and raised here, who are true citizens of the country. And we're not seeing a lot of pushback from any side of the parties. And then we've got Scary Reed, who just drives me up the wall that he won't work with anybody. And he said so, but people don't listen to that, nor does the media bring up any of that out. They're always against you. When it comes to the media, they're always against anything that's going to help the country, it seems. So I'm just curious, if we do, if we're lucky enough to get control, how are we going to push against that?
Well, you raise a very good point. And I share the frustration that you are expressing. And in fact, I think that's one of the frustrations that I hear most often from my constituents here in Idaho. Let me just say, one of the problems we had is that two-thirds of the spending in the federal level is on autopilot. It's either interest on the national debt, over which we can't exert any control except through controlling our spending, or entitlements. And we can't change those in the Senate without 60 votes. And we didn't have 60 votes. In fact, the Republicans have not had 60 votes for some time. I don't remember how long it's been since if the Republicans have ever had 60 votes in the Senate. And so it's a real problem. It's a huge problem, and people get very frustrated. But I guess what I can say to you is we can put those votes forward. We can show the American people where everybody stands, and we even if we can't get past that filibuster in the Senate, we can show the country where everyone stands. And the you know, one of the points that you made was you don't hear big pushback, whether it be on the immigration issue or on the spending issue or the other excesses going on in government. I believe that. I know that that's true. There is major pushback being made. I and many of my colleagues in the Senate and in the House are introducing legislation, co-sponsoring legislation, and engaging in battles, whether it be in the legislative process or outside the legislative process with the administration. But you are correct. The national news media, who I call the filters out of Washington, D.C., just will not let that information out. And we are continuing to try to find every avenue we can to get the information out about what we believe the right solutions are and to identify the problems. Let me give you one real quick example. The CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, a new agency created when the Democrats had 60 votes in the Senate, is right now collecting information on about 83%, and I think their ultimate goal is about 100%, of all the credit card transactions of Americans. Every time you swipe your credit card, it's likely that it's getting collected by the CFPB. I've been fighting that on every front, and we'll continue to fight it. But do you see the national news media talking about that? No.
Well, they didn't talk about the NSA.
Or the IRS targeting people, targeting conservatives. I mean, the issue, part of the problem here is exactly what you said, that we have a national media that has a heavy, heavy bias in favor of the president and his administration and his policies, and will not even report the kinds of pushback and the kinds of alternatives and solutions that we are putting forward. Now, look, that doesn't excuse us for not getting it out there better, but it, sure. But it is there.
All right, Patriot Ray, thank you for the call. Quickly to Mark in Boise for Senator Crapo.
Well, Patriot Ray made a mention about when the last time Republicans controlled the House and the Congress there. I could tell you folks out there one thing, and I voted Republican in the past, and I'm a constitutionalist. I don't trust either party now because we got Benghazi that's now by the wayside, the IRS scandal, Fast and Furious, NSA monitoring. That's all out of the picture now. We got our treacherous, treasonous president that should be arrested for what he is doing to try to get 34 million illegals, and it's always been misquoted about the 11 to 12 million figure that's been used. And I've said it myself before to people, we've got 25 to 30 million illegals at least here in this country. Now he wants to give them green cards. Where is our spineless Republicans on all this? I can see even on so-called fair and balanced Fox News, sometimes they'll get some mouthpieces from the Republican Party. But you know what, folks? The Republicans control the White House.
Is there a message for Senator Crapo?
I'm sorry?
Is there a question for Senator Crapo?
Well, the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the Congress before. And you know what? The damn government grew under them still. If they believed in smaller government, how come it grew even under them? And, you know, I will go out.
Is there a question for Senator?
Republican.
Is there a Senator? Because, Mark, you and I can talk when the senator's not here. Is there a question for the Senator?
I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you. Senator, we've got you for about a minute left, and I know you got to roll to these town hall meetings. People
Kevin,
can go to your website if they want to know when and
you
where.
You know, I said earlier that people are angry, and you just
angry,
got an example of that.
Yeah.
People feel that way across the state, and with some justification. I would simply say that, we did not have the sufficient votes when we had control of both the House and the Senate to get it all done. You will remember, though, we passed major tax cuts. We passed a lot of significant reforms. But we weren't able to control that 60% of the budget that's on autopilot. We tried. We had votes. We lost those votes. As far as, you know, one thing, was it Mark that was just talking?
Yes.
One thing that Mark said that I do take a little issue with is he said things like Benghazi and the IRS scandal and other things are off the table or are just ignored or forgotten. They are not forgotten. At least in the House, where we have control of the committee structure, we are continuing these investigations and we are pushing hard. But the bottom line is it comes back to one thing. Elections have consequences.
Yep.
And we got one coming up, and I just encourage everybody to go out and vote.
You look at that with the Supreme Court elections have consequences.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Senator, we'd love to keep you all day long, but I know you're hitting the road, and next it'll be the trail, so thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Have a great day.
You too.
580-5436-844, Kevin Miller in the morning. We'll go back to our tiered teaching policy here, the idea of teachers that are upset concerning the issue involving tiered teaching. But first, we'll go to traffic at 580 KID.
Governor Otter is asking a federal appeals court for a review of the ruling to allow gay marriage in Idaho.
Why can't you think it over?
The governor says the panel made some critical errors when it ruled that Idaho's definition of marriage was unconstitutional.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Millie in the Morning, a second chance for traditional marriage in Idaho. Governor Otter on his way to the Ninth Circuit, big shindig going on at Zions Bank right now. Mitt Romney in town. That's right, Mitt Romney is in town, and as I said before, it won't be long, I think, before we see the Mitt Romney Governor Otter commercial if it hasn't already been shot. And speaking of the gubernatorial race, seems to be heating up. Mr. Bujak, John Bujak, in the lead right now. I think it goes 80-20-15 at 580kido.com if you'd like to vote. And it's our own non-scientific way of getting the pulse of the people. We are chasing Senator Fulcher. We expect to have him next week as well. And as the election winds down, hopefully in this last debate, Public Television of Idaho can redeem themselves by having a real-life, thorough debate instead of the Harley Brown personality reality star audition demo that it became. And, you know, as we move along here at 580-5436, one issue I do want to get to is the governor going back to the Ninth Circuit, the 11-judge panel, and asking them to look at it again. Now, instead of three liberals judging it, it'll be 11. But it's a good move. One thing we give the libs is that when they disagree, it's never over. And I've said that it's not over yet either. I still think that the Supreme Court should man up and make a definitive case. As we heard before, what was it, 27 federal judges have decided the fates of millions? No, it's very, very much like our immigration policy. Think about this at 580KIDO. We never voted to give preference to third world countries. Do you know that? Our great mentor on this program, Patrick Joseph Buchanan, has always done an incredible piece on the 1964, I believe, Immigration Reform Act, thank you, Ted Kennedy, which decided to give preference to people from third world countries, unskilled folks, at the expense of where people have come from America, come to America for years, Western and Eastern Europe. You wonder why America has changed so much in the last 40 years. It was through the Immigration Reform Act, which no one ever voted on. And we see that today. Of course, you did vote on it. In 06, you said marriage is between a man and a woman. And unfortunately, you have the tyranny of the bench and the cowardice of the court. That's one issue. The other issue is, again, one of my personal favorites, and we'll be back in the schools tomorrow, is this issue involving those wascally wabbits, the teachers, and whether or not we should reform how a teacher gets their job through tiered certification. Now, Tom Luna has put this together as a new idea. This idea is over, well over 20 years old because it was being kicked around when I was teaching in Ohio. And basically what it is all the teachers will not get tenure. All the teachers will not get anything. And they'll go from provisional to professional to possibly master teacher if they're good. But it gives accountability, and that's what people say is missing when we're talking about today's education.
Dozens of teachers packed into this cafeteria to make their voices heard on a pair of proposals from the State Board of Education. Sonia Galaviz has been teaching for more than a decade and opposes tiered certification.
I think it's turned into an extraordinarily complex system that is attempting to use a teacher certification as some sort of process of accountability, which is extremely problematic because the certification or the licensure of a teacher should be held at the state level, not be affected by local administration.
Tiered certification would base the teacher's pay on their level of licensure, almost like going from a medical resident to a fellow to a physician. Teachers would start at $40,000 a year and top out at $58,000. Teachers reach tiers through district assessments, standardized tests, and other measures they can decide on with their administration.
It is my strong belief, however, that a principal should not be granted the power and responsibility of affecting teacher pay and the level of license they hold.
There you have it, Mark Jones, an elementary school principal on this. Now, many education advocates who we hear from all the time at 580KIDO, what's that? Why aren't we hearing from them now? I don't know. Maybe they got a life. Who knows? But have said you want to certify and regulate your teachers.
Some are worried this will dissuade teachers from working with special education students or English language learners.
And I'm concerned that this licensure may not encourage that. We want the best and the brightest for our most vulnerable students.
Right now, there is no funding for the career ladder piece, which would provide for the increased teacher salaries. Representatives from the State Board of Education say teachers have legitimate concerns, and they are listening.
We really think this is a critical time. We really would like to garner the support of the Idaho public and the teachers and the educators to craft a proposal that will significantly enhance public education in the state of Idaho.
Yeah, I mean, the more they meddle with it, the more they mess it up, if you will. And I do agree with Mike Tracy to a point. We are administration heavy, but hey, who's going to force the consolidation? Is there someone who, what would it take, the governor? Would it take the two candidates for state school superintendent? By the way, can we define that race as just an interesting one, if you will? Just an interesting one. But back to this, is it going to take the governor? Is it going to take a dictator? Is it going to take someone to personally come in and say, we're going to consolidate all the school districts? And what happens if you're one of those administrators? Well, you're going to go to the public and say, gee, Billy's going to lose his principal, or Tina's going to lose their assistant principal, or we're going to lose local control. Why should we pay for another district? So, solutions? They're easier said than done in this one. The need is there, obviously. Our future depends on it with these kids. Our future depends on coming up with solutions, not political talking points. 46 in Star, Idaho, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work. 46 in Eagle, thank you for starting your day with us. We'll do better tomorrow as we are back in action at the schools. Looking forward to running wild with the kids, with the teachers, being a part of the great Treasure Valley. Don't forget our poll. Will it be Bujak, Belukoff, Otter, Pankey, or Life? Our governor's poll at 580kido.com. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett.